Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on TL Bravs. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing just swell today. Thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little extra smoky today in my voice. It sounds like I've got another voice behind my voice because I got a new vape flavor, okay? And it's like frying my throat in a very different way. What do you want me to tell you, okay? I'm like three different kinds of fruity pebbles today, okay?
Wow, that sounds disgusting.
It is. It is disgusting. So what are you shellacking your lungs with, Ben?
I'm shellacking my lungs with just like lots of sugar, just inhaling sugar. I have a pie. I have pie. I've got ice cream. I've got cake here in the house. It's just like, I don't know. I'm out of control. I can't stop
myself. It's COVID. The COVID. Fat gainer. Okay. I got rid of all the sugar in my house, even the table sugar, like even cooking sugar, because I was getting so ridiculous with my COVID ass. And so I got rid of all of it, and now I'm just eating like bags of tortilla chips. So now I'll probably get fat and chip a tooth. So thanks a lot, Corona.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I know I had my birthday last week, so I made myself a cake. So I got, so it's like the sugar is just really on. It's like everywhere. It is everywhere for me.
Well, it's a good day to be talking about Corona ass because we are on Real Housewives of Atlanta today, which is about Corona ass. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're all feeling it right now. It's amazing watching these COVID shows on Bravo that are starting to take place. You know, it's taking place back when COVID became like a huge thing and everyone started to have to stay at home and everyone's complaining about the weight gain after month one. I'm like, just wait. Just you wait, Delta Burke.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, what's interesting about Atlanta is that they finished their season during COVID. They did their reunion in May or so, late May, I believe. I don't remember when it was, but they did their, I think it was in May, and then they started filming the new season. It looked like that was happening in early June. So they, I think, are the first ones that we've had so far that have actually finished a season in coronavirus and have started a new one.
Yeah, Bravo just doesn't care.
Not any impact. Yeah.
Bravo's like, you're shooting, okay? We might be doing it in your driveway, but, you know, you can still fight about something. Just find something.
Yeah, exactly. And because it does start in June, you know, June was a very intense month, at least here in the U.S., and it actually seems like it was around the world, too, because in the wake of George Floyd, we obviously had, you know, a large amount of protests and discussion about Black Lives Matter, et cetera, and that's when this show comes back into production. So the series begins with a lot of discussion about that. And so, you know, we have the women weighing in. It's very serious, you know, appropriately so, of course. And Kenya's talking to us about how the world has completely changed and they can't travel. They can't socialize the way they're used to socializing. They can't do anything except, you know, film Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it's almost like they're imprisoned in their own homes. And so she got really depressed.
Yeah, and it's interesting watching Housewives because, of course, the people that are most making it about themselves are who you would think it it is. It's like Kenya and then Shannon on Orange County is also very like, I'm the only one. Not I'm the only one, but it's like, okay, we're all dealing with it. But, of course, she's also got to deal with the divorcing and Mark and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And getting rid of her. Apparently, she gave her car with the doors that go up to the sides to Mark. What is that, a Tesla? I don't know what that is.
She gave it to Mark.
Yeah, she says in this episode she bought a car and gave it to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. And I think they're still together. I'm not sure. I think I just saw a picture of them all together, but who knows what the timestamp was on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cynthia shows up and she's for her interview because it's very much like breaking the fourth wall. Like we see the producer, we see the camera rigs and everything. Like, and Cynthia's like, oh, this is my first interview since COVID. She's like, well, it's been very challenging. For a moment, it felt like the world stopped. My family and I were quarantined in Los Angeles and we were afraid to go outside. But then when the George Floyd protests happened, they finally were like, we have to go outside. So they went out and they protested.
Yeah. They ask Candy the same thing to start off. And she's, you know, she starts talking about Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd thing and how you know, it's time to stand up and fight for the injustice against African Americans. And then she starts crying and she's like, great fucking question, you guys. Like, way to start.
She's like, thanks for making me cry at the start of the season.
Yeah, she's like, way to start it off, guys.
Yeah. And Portia, then they talk to Portia, who really has like sort of gotten in touch with her, like sort of her, I don't know what the word is.
Her
inner protester, inner progressive, like her family lineage, heritage.
Her DNA. She's gotten really in touch with her DNA.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to say it in like a jokey way. And she just says that she just was like so furious about everything, like Breonna Taylor and everything and George Floyd. And she just so offended at the blatant racism that was happening to her people. So she just felt like she just had to yell it from the rooftop, you know, no justice, no peace.
Yeah, and then we see her going to protests and getting gassed. And, you know, she's describing, like, being at the protest and everybody's innocent, you know, peacefully protesting. And then boom, 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 gas pellets are shooting and they're all running. It's like, Jesus Christ, my God, this world.
So in other words, we're like, wow, this is a great – we're going to have so many jokes. We're going to have so many jokes about this opening. It's going to be just a barrel of laughs for us.
Well, what are you going to do?
But they had to address it. These are serious things that were happening in the world.
I'll be like, you know what COVID did to me? It gave me a jokeless Real Housewives of Atlanta recap. How dare you, Corona? How dare you?
So now we're June 1st. We're in Atlanta. Yeah, Portia is at protests and everything. She's talking about, like, you know, bullets flying by her. And she and Dennis had to go out for running. She had shit in her eyes and stuff. And you know, how basically showing how, like, they're just peacefully protesting and, like, the, you know, like how this, a very aggressive response to these peaceful protests just rolls in, and, we see it happening through her eyes.
Yes. And then we go to the opening, the peaches. So we start over at Cynthia's house, and Cynthia's in her favorite place of all time, the kitchen. Cynthia's just making use of those kitchen counters like never before.
Yes. She's putting it together, a little meal, and then she has a table in her driveway, and so she brings it up the driveway, and Candy shows up, and she's like, look at you. You're looking really sexy right now, because Cynthia basically just has her tits out. She's like, you know what? I'm not the only one out of quarantine. So are these boobies.
Yeah, she's basically wearing a robe that's open and kind of taped at one part. And so her boobs are coming all out. And the song that's playing when Candy drives up is, they don't like me very much, and I don't care, I don't care, they don't like me, I don't care. And I was like, wow, Candy's already out of her house. She was really different. And it's Candy. Why are you playing that song for Candy? They don't like me very much.
Yeah, everyone likes Candy.
Are there no scenes where Kenya's driving up? Okay, save it.
Literally a song called Candy Everybody Wants by the 10,000 Maniacs, okay? So Cynthia's talking about how she was in LA for 4 months and she was just like stuck, and that she's like, Mike and I were tested during quarantine, and I'm normally thirsty for Mike, but I'm thirsty for you now, Candy. I'm like, Cynthia, please stop trying to sell Mike on us. Like, just please.
We get your vagina works, and Mike, we get that your penis works. I would like to congratulate you both on that, but at this point, you look like just old people on an infomercial. Like, we're having sex again. Look at us. We're doing it. And it's like the old man's really sad, but then he's smiling real big because he took that, you know, that vitamin pill you can only get at 1 a.m. on TV.
They're both like sitting in separate bathtubs holding hands, like a Cialis commercial. It's like, okay, we get it.
Thanks, oops, I crapped my pants.
So they're talking about like COVID tests and everything, and, you know, just like comparing throat test versus nose test. I still haven't had a COVID test yet. Thankfully, knock on wood, I haven't had any need to, but I feel like the longer I go without a COVID test, the scarier it's going to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't imagine you getting a COVID test. You'll be crying. Yeah, I'll have you FaceTime me so I can hold your hand over the phone.
Have you had one? You haven't had one, right?
No, I haven't left. I have no reason. Yeah.
Dom gets one like every day.
Have no reason because I haven't had to leave for anything.
Yeah, it'll
my
happen.
My COVID test is called a scale, and it's broken now. I threw it away.
So. My COVID test is called my appetite. As long as I'm hungry, I feel like I don't have COVID.
Yeah, or as long as you can smell things. As long as I can smell the amount of days that I haven't taken a shower, then I know that I don't have it.
Yeah. So then they're talking about like Candy's sex life, which has just been steady, and then Cynthia's boob just falls right on out, and she's like, "Titty scent, titty scent." I'm like, "Wow, you're really gonna like it's it was bad enough that you really pushed, you know, 50 synth and then 51 synth on us, but now you're gonna do titty scent? I mean, like, it's time to go on to a new pun brand."
Yeah, she's just gonna give that thing a party in like the dinosaur museum.
Yeah,
they're gonna serve Peter's brew. So Candy is talking about how she's stuck with the kids, but you know, she's at least spending time with her family, because the big thing with Candy has always been, "Babe, you work too much. You're never home. You never even see the kids. I do everything." So this is like COVID karma for Candy. She's gotta be there and actually spend time with the family, which is horrifying. So sorry, Candy.
Yeah. That's a lot of family time. So then Cynthia says that she gained 20 pounds in LA. I'm like, join the club. And then Marlo comes over, and she of course has one of those like guards, those like shields, which actually apparently don't really do that much because it's still pretty open.
Yeah, I call that the check cashing place mask.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So she comes in, and she's of course being, you know, ridiculous. She's like, well, I guess it's sort of not ridiculous, but still kind of still extra. In a very extra time, we like taking temperatures and, you know, measuring out like the distance, like 6 feet between chairs and things like that. I was like, she is ridiculous, and I aspire to be as ridiculous as her, because, you know, I want to bring my little measuring tapes every outdoor place I go to.
I know you were on Amazon looking for one of those little temperature gauges that you, it's like a temperature gun.
Oh, I already have one.
You do?
Oh,
I knew it. I knew that. No, I was like, so Ben. If Ben was around me for Christmas, that would be in his stocking.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing, though. It's not as crazy. It was like over the summer, I had like a really bad allergy attack, and I was like, I probably should have a thermometer, because like if I did get COVID, like, you know, they always say, well, if your temperature is at this point. Oh, you know what it was? I tried to get a COVID test over the summer, because I had like a sore throat or something like that, and then it was like, you can't get a COVID test unless your temperature was something. So I was like, well, I don't even have a thermometer. So then I went to look and get a thermometer, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get one of these cool ones that you can just like aim at your forehead. So there was like a reason behind it. There was a reason.
Well, if you hadn't bought one then, you would have last night watching this show.
Yeah, I would have. That's for sure.
So she comes in shooting her little gun, and she's like, oh, it's amazing. I live for the ambiance. I live for you, mannequin. This mannequin's wearing sequins. I got to take your temperature first, Miss Bailey. So she's like shooting everyone in the head with this little gun in her check cashing store mask. And yeah, they're all at 97.3, so everything's fine.
Right, which is what, by the way, that's exactly what the thermometer almost always shows. I don't think I've ever had anything other than 97.3 on that thing.
You're basic. Sorry, yeah. You've got a basic temperature, so.
So now they're like, again, like Cynthia's boobs fall out about five more times. And they're talking about their different boob shapes, etc. And then Marlo, they're talking about Portia. And Marlo apparently texted Portia and said, I'm proud of you, Portia Luther King, but please be careful. And then they're all talking about how like they're just so proud of Portia and how far she's come, which of course, you know, the producers were only
Railroad,
too happy.
Underground Railroad
scene.
Everyone at home just started screaming Underground Railroad, which of course they did. The show's like, let's have every cast member talk about how proud we are of Portia. And then we cut to Portia like, but where's the entrance for the railroad that's underground? Oh, bless her. So have they talked to Kenya? And Cynthia's like, well, I've tried to see her, but it's always something. I don't want to say she sounds depressed, but she sounds very down.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is depressed a bad word? She's depressed, okay? Who's not depressed?
Yeah, she's literally going through a divorce during a pandemic. So so then they say that, yeah, they haven't really seen much of her. So they try to FaceTime her, and Kenya's like, hello. And they're like, hey, beautiful. And then she's like, oh, poor connection. She like fakes a poor connection, hangs up.
They're like, Kenya, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. And Marlo's like, are you on Metro?
So then we go over to Kenya, and she's going to the lawyer. Like, I feel like it's not a Real Housewives of Atlanta episode if Kenya doesn't go visit a lawyer
in a new car.
In a new car. So yeah, she's now
it's always got to be Kenya in a new car going to a new lawyer.
Yeah, so she's bundled up in this thing. She's telling us how she basically can't zip up her dresses because she's gained like 30 pounds. And so she's in this thing, which has this top that has this little kind of like, it looks like it's a pussy bow, but it's not. It's like this weird little like embellishment on the top that I just could not stop staring at.
Yeah, it was like a baby present bow, you know, like with wire to shape it. It was a weird bow. And she was saying how she couldn't zip up her dress, so like her hair was covering the back of her dress. And I thought, it's time for a wig. It's like, yeah. It's definitely time. A full-on Cousin It wig, you know, yeah. That goes down to my feet.
Yeah.
So she is talking to her boy on the phone, and she's like, oh, you know, I'm on the way to the lawyer because Mark just, I went to New York to see Mark, and he just didn't greet her. You know, he just went straight to Brooklyn. So she's still got like the jealousy with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just has to work. And I'm like, wow, Mark hates you. I'm shocked. Get out of there.
I know. Why are you? Yeah, exactly. And she's like, you know, I've been a wife who's tried everything to be respectful, to be kind, and to feel like the last 6 months, like my marriage has just gone downhill. I'm like, yeah, divorce him. He's awful. We saw him on TV. He's terrible.
Yeah, sperm donor. You got it. Now get rid of him.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm just sick of being sad. And Brandon's like, yeah, we're sick of seeing you sad. And I was like, and so says America. So she misses the exit. And she's like, oh my God, I was supposed to turn. Now it's telling me to turn around. The map is being mean to me. The map just ignored me. The map probably told Brooklyn instructions on how to get off this freeway.
Yeah. So then Kenya arrives at the lawyer's office, and she's talking about how like COVID has really adversely affected Mark's businesses, and that like, you know, she is the first person to take the brunt of what's happening to him, and that he's always insulting her, and that she always has to walk around on eggshells around him, and she's just not that person. She goes, I mean, I'm a great communicator. And then it cuts to her saying, basically, your daughter's a hoe. Hey, let's talk about you. The fact is, you're a real Cut Fitness. Just like lashing into everyone. Great communicator.
Yeah. And she's dressed in her, hold on. I have to look something up on the internet. Betrays Mark Antony. Does Cleopatra betray? Yeah, does she get rid of Mark Antony? She does, right? Doesn't she betray him?
I don't remember.
Damn it, I hope she did, because she's dressed like Cleopatra. And I'm like, betray him! Betray him! So she's telling her lawyer, Mr. Weenus, Attorney Weemus, or Weems, sorry, Weems. She's telling him, oh, it took a village for me to get here. You know, it's not just traffic. It's things at home. I have a new nanny, and the kid's always crying around the new nanny. It's like housewives complaining about COVID with their nannies and their...
Yeah. I mean, this scene is basically like every other scene Kenya's had with a lawyer. It's like she goes in, she says that there's no prenup. The lawyer's like, there's no prenup. Oh, but then what about the child custody? Who's going to do this? Who's going to have the child? And et cetera, et cetera. And it's basically the same stuff. And the lawyer's like, what's Mark's relationship with his other two kids? And she's like, that's a loaded question. I'd rather not answer it, which is her way of, it's her subtle way of doing like legal shade, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she tells him that she's like, I just want to, you know, go over my options before I actually file, because I really don't want there to be an issue with assets, which is why you get a prenup.
Which is exactly. Dumb, dumb.
And she tells him that she purchased a car and she gave that to him, and she paid for her home in cash, so she doesn't want that to come into play. And I don't know what the divorce laws are like in Georgia, but you're lucky you didn't get married in California, or I think Texas too. Isn't Texas? I think Texas is like an equal state too, where you just, the other person gets half.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, every time I get an invitation to go to a wedding in LA, I just RSVP. Don't do it.
Just send in a prenup for them to sign.
Yeah.
So then they like wrap up the scene, but the audio is still going, and this, they keep talking, and the lawyer's like, you literally beat yourself up because of this dude. And like, I know how like black women, especially black women celebrities, will give anything away for your career and everything. And then you go and say, hey, let me have his family. But his failure is not your failure. His failure is not your failure. And she's like, got it. So I should get back together with him. It's like, no, Kenya, no.
You're right. I should get on a plane to go to New York right now. So then more Porsche iPhone footage at another protest. And she's talking about how she's in Kentucky with Dennis, and they're going to meet other protesters for Breonna Taylor. And she talks about that case and stuff. And then at the end of this segment, she ends up getting arrested, right?
She makes a
video saying, listen, everybody, I would never harm myself or take my life. And if I'm arrested, it's because I sacrificed myself for the cause. And
yeah. And I like that she's protesting and she's out there on the street, but she's also wearing a Louis Vuitton face mask. She's like, I'm still a celebrity, just so you guys all know.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so then we go over to, you know, another scene that we really need. Candy and Todd washing their car. Well, Todd washing the car.
Yeah, exactly. So they're washing the car and Riley's out there. Riley's, you know, is supposed to go to NYU in the fall. So she's gearing up for that. And, you know, Todd's asking Riley if she's intimidated by going to NYU. And he's like, just so you know, I'm going to have eyes on you. Kayla's going to be there. I'm like, oh, great. I'm sure Kayla's going to be real, like, like, watch out for Kayla in New York City.
Hey, yeah,
you're doing something. Stop that.
Yeah, I'm telling. So, she's talking about how NYU probably won't have classes due to COVID, but she's getting the hell out of there anyway because she doesn't want to be around her family anymore. She's like, see ya. And Candy, then we start talking about her father because Candy tells her she's on a limited budget now because her school is so expensive. And Riley's like, yeah, but I feel like my father never did anything, so it's time for him to provide. And Candy's like, yeah, but you're the one who said, did she say I should get him to pay the back child support or I shouldn't?
It was something. I don't know. All I know is that Block owes $100,000. And then when Candy asked for it, he told her, like, you're acting like a broke bitch. And then she was like, but you're the one who's acting like the broke bitch because you're not giving your child support. And so she's getting frustrated with that. And then Candy's basically saying, and on top of that, by the way, he's also driving around in Bentleys. And so she's like, tells Riley, like, okay, so if your dad does pay the back support, would you be open to having a relationship with him? So we're sort of back to this thing where Candy is trying to get Riley to be open to having a relationship with her father.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, I have a family around me, so, like, I've moved past the point that he's even necessary, except for the money. So let's find a way to get that money, which good for her. And Todd's like, well, you know, it's been a long time and she's only going to get confused based on his actions. You know, like me and Kayla, when we were going through our thing, you know, people would tell me, whoa, I wouldn't even bother getting back into that. Like,
yeah. Here's what I think we should do. Rather than worry about Block giving you money, Riley, and then worrying about how you have to have a relationship with him, how about he gives me the money and then I'm going to invest it in a new restaurant concept called Close Face Dining. It's a really small restaurant where everyone has to eat on top of each other. And I think it'll just do wonderfully right now.
Oh, God.
Todd, your concepts.
Old lady tacos. I see it now. I can see it now. So then we go back to Portia marching, and there's helicopters following the march. And that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
And then we go.
Helicopter. They keep showing that helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter's like following them. And then Cynthia and Kenya. So Cynthia goes over to Kenya's house with Candy, and Kenya basically walks him into a mud pit in her backyard because she's decided, fuck Mark, he didn't want a pool, so she's going to build a pool, and she's going to build a special playground for her little baby, which is like three stories up from the pool.
Like, I know. I was like, you maybe want to aim the slide in a different direction. I was like, this doesn't feel like it's smart.
It's like, and then I did something for my baby five blocks away.
I decided to finally do something for myself. Spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a pool that I probably won't use that often.
Yeah. The fuck you, Mark pool.
And did you, by the way, did we mention on the podcast? I know it was online that Toya and Eugene's dream house is up for sale.
My God, I did see that. What do you think's going on? Do you think they're in money trouble again?
No, they learned their lessons. Toya learned her lessons. If there's anyone who's capable of learning things, it's Toya.
Now I want a neighborhood now without sidewalks.
What I should have did was check to see if the house had a foundation. No, it didn't.
Sidewalks are out now. So she probably got sick of walking up and down in that goddamn closet. Who wants to go up and down in a closet? Nobody.
Seriously. Okay?
Especially carrying a drink. Because then you leave your drink down there and then you're like, oh, damn it. I left champagne down there. And now there's fruit flies all over the place.
Yeah. A disaster.
Okay. So then basically they're like, wow, a pool. Great. Spending money on a pool in COVID. Smart idea.
Great. So then they're talking about swimming because they really have nothing else to talking about. And Candy's like, I can doggy paddle. And Cynthia's like, oh, so you can doggy style and doggy paddle. And then Candy does one of her laughs, her.
And then they go inside and chat. And Candy, you know, they're talking about how nice Kenya's house is and how clean it is. And Candy's like, man, my house has gone to shit, okay? Because Miss Peggy hasn't been able to come. And she's like, the other day I caught myself folding clothes. And it took me 5 hours and I still wasn't finished, okay? So now I have to do one load a day and mop the floor every day.
How many sweatshirts does Todd wear? Why did it take 5 hours to do all that laundry? That's crazy. Oh, I mean, to fold all that laundry.
Okay, that's Todd, her. You know that her mom probably just drops off laundry at her door.
That's true,
at least.
Too.
Riley. She probably drops off both the aunties' laundry there. The babies. Kids have a lot of laundry.
Kenya was like, well, I just wake up, do laundry. The first thing you do is you wake up, you put a load of laundry in and mop the floor. And I was sort of like inspired by that. I was like, I kind of want to have that discipline. I want to wake up and mop a floor. And then, of course, today, you know what I did? I woke up and did not mop a floor or even come close to it.
I did. I kept really clean in the beginning of it. I was like, wow, good habits. I'm going to go walking every day and clean my kitchen. And by, I think, the second week, I was like, fuck you, kitchen. Like, who cares? Yeah, no one's coming over anyway. It's like I'm stuck in here alone. I'll be in a tortilla wrapper prison. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I had a period of my life where I was really obsessive about cleaning. And then it was a short period, maybe about 6 months. And then I have not been able to get back to it. I hope. I mean, I clean. Dom is more tidy than I am. But when I see this, I'm like, wow, Kenya makes it sound so easy. I could do that. I can wake up and mop a floor. I'm going to mop a floor.
Well, that sounds disgusting. But you know what sounds really fun? We should talk about Mark some more.
Yeah.
So Kenya's like, listen, I'm a housewife without a husband right now. Kenya, you've always been a housewife without a husband. You've been on this show like 20 years, okay?
Yeah.
You had a husband for 5 minutes.
Exactly. You know, she's telling them that she brought Brooklyn to New York, and the first day they were fine, but the second day he was picking fights. And that, you know, and Candy is like, you know what, he has all the power. I mean, you go up to see him, but he should be coming down to see you. I mean, you're the one trying to figure out how to fix it, but he should be doing those things.
Yeah, and they're giving her good advice. They're like, yeah, I don't think this is gonna work. You gave it your all, good job. Now get out of it.
Yeah.
So she says that she saw the attorney and he gave her the options of game separation of agreement. He gave her the game of operation. And she's like, and if I have to hear one more time.
That poor guy. She's like, she probably hits it on the edge. Like, she loses if she doesn't hit the edge. Excuse me, sir. We're going to have to operate on you now. I'm going to take out your wishbone. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, they're like, get out, Kenya. Okay, like you've worked hard enough at this. And both of them tell us like he treats her like shit, and they can't believe she's putting up with it. So it's more of the same with Kenya, pretty much.
Yeah. So now we go back over to Cynthia, who is again at her kitchen island, and she is dealing with her. She has a big old calendar, and her assistant's like, I think I have to get you a virtual calendar because if this catches on fire, you're screwed. And I'm not saying I'm going to light it on fire, but I have to say it's butt ugly and I kind of want to light it on fire. So let's get you online.
And then Mike is working at the same time because Jill is there at the same time. Mm-hmm. So he's walking around going, business, business. I have business too. Oh, hello, business. And she's like, business, business, business. And he's like, business. It's like, okay, you two, you're both working.
Yeah. And he's like really awkward with trying to sound like, like all sexy because he's like, hey, I got my final copy of his book. Oh, and by the way, I'm happy that your booty grew in quarantine. It's like, okay, that sounded really natural.
Yeah, he does another, like, my dick works too. He's got a whole scene of that. He's like, yeah, I really like that ass. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so glad for quarantine because we've been able to bang all day long. We bang 30 times a day. Yeah, banging.
Yeah, it's like, it's nice banging here because there aren't kids everywhere when we bang. And I do like to bang because your ass is bigger now. And you sound like a car trying to start when we bang, which we do bang. Have you ever banged a car or in a car?
That was funny. She puts her head under the pillow during sex and goes.
So she's happy that he's there at Lake Bailey because, you know, they nitpicked about everything, but they passed the test and the quarantine has made them stronger. And now it's time to get planning for their wedding on October 10th, 2020. It's their perfect dates. They got to have it. They've got to have that perfect date.
10-10-20. And so there's a new law that there are no gatherings of more than 50 people. And she's like, but we have 250 people. And he's like, well, it's disappointing, but you know what? At the end of the day, you'll get nothing for nothing. At the end of the day, it's our day. So, you know, if we just have us and a minister, who cares? And she's like, yeah, I think for women it's different. You know, I've been married before in a dead dinosaur museum, okay? And I don't have a very good memory of the last wedding, so roll the clip package. And it's like her mom and her sister trying to hide her marriage certificate so she can't get married.
I know, which always felt like it was a very fake thing that the producers just arranged.
It did, so, but it's still so funny all these years later.
I know. And there's all these things I forgot about, how they were like broke and she couldn't go on a honeymoon. She started crying at the table. So, yeah, she has PTSD because her last huge wedding just wasn't the huge wedding she wanted. So she needs to have her new huge wedding, which also can't be mistaken for her huge wedding vow renewal that she had that she made everyone go to. So now it's time that she finally does get a party to celebrate her and her love. So she's just like, she just wants an amazing day that she can have with her friends and family. And he's like, well, but this is life. I mean, who knew that COVID would happen, right? And she's just basically like, she wants to have a big party. And that's the end of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she's like, well, if things aren't open by 10-10-20, then maybe it's God just telling us to do it at a different time. And he's like, well, why do we have to move our perfect date if the world isn't perfect, you know? It should just be about us. And she's like, but I deserve it. I deserve everything. You've already had everything, okay? Did you return all those wedding presents you got twice?
Yeah. Okay?
You've already gotten two truckloads full of free shit from people, okay? You don't deserve everything. Your third wedding, you do not deserve everything, okay? Go to City Hall and buy everybody hamburger.
Also, they're just like way too obsessed over this cheesy-ass 10-10-20 date, okay? Although, who else got married? Kelly Dodd got married that same day, right? So Mike is like, he's like, well, why don't we get married that day and have a ceremony later? And Cynthia's like, and he's like, if people can't be there, you don't want to be married. And then she's like, oh. And then so he starts getting mad that like she's really in it for the people. I'm like, Mike, you realize you were marrying a model. Like, she professionally wants attention from strangers. Like, that's,
yeah, in reality,
models
TV
are
star,
like,
yeah,
literally, like, the definition of a model is like you are on display as a model of something. Like, your job is having eyeballs on you.
Yeah, when he said, look, I'm hearing it wrong. I don't give a fuck about the wedding unless I'm with you. And you have to ask yourself, do you want a marriage or a wedding? And I was like, wow, that is the first time anyone on Housewives has ever asked that.
Yeah.
I think you can ask it like about every wedding that's ever happened on a Housewives show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think probably in her mind, she's thinking, if we move this wedding from 10-10-20, we won't be shooting and Bravo won't pay for it. So we have to have it on 10-10-20.
Oh, maybe, yeah. So then we're back at Portia's march, and she's marching, and the helicopters are still following her. And then she sees that people around her are getting arrested, and then she gets arrested. And so she's carted off. So
she's
then,
arrested.
Yeah, she's arrested. So then we see Candy, and Candy is in her new restaurant, R-O-L-G, really old lady gang.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the same restaurant space that Todd was trying to turn into something last year, but it's a new place. It looks all right. It looks all right. And Don Juan is there and everything. And Don Juan's like making fun of her for her hair. And she's like, shut up. And Todd is like trying to talk up this concept of having a lounge because they're basically making a steakhouse. And he really wants to have a lounge, which, by the way, I cannot stand lounges in steakhouses. I hate that concept. I know this is a really specific nitpick, but there are enough steakhouses that have lounges. I'm looking at you, Mastro's, and super, super annoying. It's just like really loud music, and you're just like there to have – if I'm spending all this money on a steak, I don't want to be hearing your shitty-ass lounge music. Like, let me just have my steak. And then on top of that, Candy's like, we have to socially distance. Like, we can't have tables close to each other, so we need that space. We don't need people lounging. We don't need people lounging in a restaurant. God, Todd drives me nuts with his restaurant ideas.
Yeah. And it's also just so stressful watching people opening restaurants right now. And we're seeing a lot of it on these shows where everyone's like, I'm my new restaurant's almost. It's like, oh, no.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So she talks with Cynthia on the phone and they talk about Portia and how proud they are because Portia is arrested. That was in the blogs and stuff. And so... they're worried about her, and then we see that Portia's been released, and she's cheering with everybody else outside the jail, and she's like, yeah, you know, when you first get into that jail, there's spider webs and nothing sanitized, which I love the Portia review of jail.
There were no hot dogs.
Spider webs actually kind of surprised me. I kind of felt like there wouldn't be spider. I feel like spider webs is like a cartoon jail.
Yeah,
I
that's like when you've seen jail on like Bugs Bunny, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I think the jail is, like, really clean, but I also feel like enough people are going through that jail that the spiders, like, don't have a chance to make a web because there's too many people in there.
Yeah.
Like, why would a spider make a web in a high-traffic human area?
Oh, spiders. That's how they spiders are. And I think spiders are just misunderstood. I think they're just like, look, my art, you know? Like, they want to go somewhere where it's going to be seen. That's some intricate shit that they make, and then what do? We get out a broom.
There's a beautiful spider web on my window right here, and, like, that, I appreciate that. But you know what's not art are those spiders that are just like, I'm just going to I just want to clothespin some, not clothespin, what is it called? Clothesline someone. I don't know. The way they just like those spiders that just do that one line across a path. It's like, yeah. Why are you doing one line?
Because
they're starting.
All you're
going to catch is a human.
They're starting.
It's not starting. It's them just saying like, I'm doing one line and all they catch are humans because – what are the odds that the fly is going to hit that one tiny line? It's just, the odds are terrible, but humans walk. It's always like on my face. It's like I am the single web, the single strand web catcher. It's just always on my face.
But aren't you proud of those spiders? Because I feel like those spiders are really putting forth effort. Like they're out to catch the big fish. You know, yeah, they're like, I don't want to fly. I want to fucking bend. Okay, I want to bend.
I'm always impressed how they can hang up that line. I mean, they must basically at some point they like start on one leaf, let's say, or a branch, and they see an area and they're like, I'm gonna go for it, and they must just jump right off and then just like try to go as far.
They can't jump that far. I think that they jump down from the bush and then keep that shit hanging, and then they're like, you know what, I could just make this a straight up and down like skyscraper type spider web, or I could walk across the sidewalk and climb up that other bush, and then they have to poop out all that silk and they're like, and then they slowly make their way across to the other thing, and then they climb back up it, and then they've got to straighten it out like around something where it
and
sticks.
They're like, so happy that they've started their like stupid spider circus, and they're like, now all I need are performers, and then I walk through and destroy it.
Yeah. That only took 2 days of my life. Everything's gonna go great from now on. I'm gonna get my everything. Art. I'm gonna get the biggest thing I've ever gotten. Ben just ruined it.
My art. I don't know. I still resent those spider webs. I don't know. I just don't understand the evolutionary purpose. Like the other ones make sense. They're like super spider webby. Like, you know, it's going to catch all the little bugs, all the bugs that are like, look at this beautiful art. I think we have to have an art walk, and then they get eaten by the art. But like the other ones, I don't get. I don't get the evolutionary purpose.
Well, you know what? Art evolves. And I think they're just trying to make it bigger and better because there have been so many famous spiders over the year. And they're like, oh, all these movies and films about spiders, they make us look stupid. You know, Charlotte was writing like a different thing every day for the pig to read, you know. And then you've got like Cheetah Rivera hanging down on Broadway singing stuff. And then you've got like the ending of It, where like the big villain that's even scarier than the clown is like a big spider. Like all these big, huge Spider-Man.
Coraline.
I mean, there's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. There was another spider thing. I
think I literally took all the spiders.
You did take a lot of the spiders. No, there was one more spider that I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. There was like another really good spider. Oh, Lord of the Rings. There was that one spider who was rude, by the way. That was not art, by the way. That spider was not an artist. That spider was a rude spider, what it did to Sam.
Yeah. Did you know that there's something called the spider ham? Because I looked up famous spiders on Wikipedia, and famous I came across spider ham.
Spider Butler?
Spider Butler, yeah, from us. So, yeah, I think spiders are, like, they feel the need to compete now, you know? And they're like, it's not any good just being a regular spider. You know, you've got to do something really fucking special.
So there was, like, an edgy spider that went to the jail and was like, this is going to be my spot.
Yeah.
Edgy, like...
Yeah.
Although it's not really in jail because it could probably just like walk very easily from like the jail cell to like anywhere it wanted to go because it's small.
Yeah, I don't know. But for whatever reason, Portia didn't even appreciate it. So you wasted your fucking time. You might as well have just made like one little strand across the sidewalk for Ben to run into for all the work that you just did for Portia.
That's exactly right. Portia. But what Portia did get a takeaway from is that she had bonded with the other protesters that were arrested. And she said that she had never, it like changed her life because they were like sharing their souls about a soul that had been lost with souls she hadn't met. And her biggest takeaway is that she would do it all over again.
Yeah. And then she says, this season, keep your mask and your wig on tight, boo. And then it looks really funny the rest of the season.
Yeah, I feel like they had to have like a serious episode because all the serious things happening in society, and they kind of just had to get that out of the way. So it was like, okay, cool. This is like some serious stuff here.
Yeah, but it was a good episode for sure. But then they go back to regular Housewives hijinks. It's like It goes from this to who fucked the stripper in the background. And of course, it's Kenya who brings that out. That She tries to throw Tanya under the bus by saying it was Tanya and Portia boning that stripper.
I'm not getting too excited about the stripper thing because that thing happened in October. So that's going to be the end of the season. I'm a little concerned. I didn't love how we were going through retreads of Kenya and Mark and, you know, Candy and Block and Riley was not that content there was not the most scintillating to me, but you know, who knows? Maybe next week we'll bring some interesting stuff.
Yeah, the season looks pretty fun.
I'm excited for the new girl.
Portia says, I will quarantine a bitch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. If that's not a promise of good things to come, I don't know what is. Also, did you know, speaking of Cynthia and her million weddings and Peter wasting all of her money, did you know that she is suing Peter?
No, that's wonderful. What happened?
I know. Isn't that great news? I'm so proud of her. Because he didn't pay back a loan of a couple hundred thousand bucks, or so, allegedly.
That's shocking.
Allegedly. Yeah. And
Peter,
good for her.
Such a successful entrepreneur. Of course he would pay back that money.
Yeah. It's a lot of Peter's poop.
Peter's poop.
So anyway, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Atlanta, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow with a little Below Deck action. You guys have asked for that to come back. And guess what? We're real easy. Guys.
Yeah, we're persuadable.
Yeah,
so we're bringing it back.
We're going to do it. We're going to like it.
That's right. It was actually a really good episode of Below Deck, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it was. So everybody, thank you so much for being here. We will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches,
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.